Another banging tune to start us out on this week's CPL. Yeah, it did. I think this is my my Zune from 2007. You're back on the CPL newsroom presented by Volkswagen. Week three of the Canadian Premier League in the books. I'm Charlie O'Connor Clark. That's Mitchell Tierney. And as always, we are going to run through all of the action that was across the league. Just a quick rundown of the scores in week three, because we had some pretty interesting ones. Friday night, you and I were both there. York United 3, Vancouver FC 0. Saturday, we had a doubleheader. Halifax Wanderers 1, Atletico Ottawa 3. Followed by a game again, we were both at Forge 2, Valor 1. And then finally, last night, Sunday night, closing out the evening, or the weekend, not necessarily with a bang, was Cavalry and Pacific playing to a 0-0 draw in Cavalry's league home opener after they got things started in the Canadian Championship at home midweek, beating Vancouver. Mitchell, I think we're going to start at the end of the weekend this time and work backwards in chronological order.
Oh, that is way too confusing for me.
I pulled this one on you very late, so I'm apologizing if you end up accidentally talking about, you know, Halifax or something. But Cavalry 0, Pacific 0. Cavalry 20 shots to Pacific 7, but... you know, arguably the biggest chance of the game comes right at the end when Marco Carducci has to make a massive, massive save to bail out Cavalry. Mitchell, what did you think of both of these teams? And, you know, did you think that either of them really deserved to go home with more than a point?
Probably Cavalry. I mean, let's pull up one stat line alone. If I were to tell you Ali Moussi had 7 shot attempts, 15 touches in the box, and 4 chances created, I think it's a pretty big outlier that he's not going to create at least one goal for the 2023 players player of the year. You know, Pacific certainly defended those chances pretty well, and there is a reason why some of those didn't end up, but I think it's more at the end of the day about the attacking execution versus for Cavalry than them not being able to create chances. And again, give Pacific credit for their defensive side of things, but you know, even if, you know, if Rian Moore had slip that ball past Carducci at the end of the game, it would have really been a smash and grab for 3 points. But at the end of the day, you know, Cavalry still trying to find that offensive rhythm, and that's a big story for them.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I think the thing that, you know, we said there's 20 shots for Cavalry here and 3 of them are on target. Like, That's not good. 10 of them, 10 of those 20 were from outside of the box, right? So it kind of suggests that it's a bit of a throwing anything at the wall to see what sticks in that sort of situation where you're maybe not getting into the most dangerous areas that you'd want to be. So at that point, you're just taking shots and trying to test a goalkeeper in Sean Melvin who hasn't played yet this year. Maybe you're trying to test him, but you know, obviously only actually put it on target 3 times. You know, we talked about Cavalry's maybe lack of execution in the final third. I think maybe we should go back and see what their coach Tommy Wheeldon Jr. had to say about this, because you know, the start to the regular season hasn't necessarily been particularly smooth for them, but it also took them a while to get their first win last year. We all know how that ended. So maybe before we go deeper on Cavalry, let's go back to Spruce Meadows and hear from Tommy Wheeldon Jr.
It was 2 points dropped, in my opinion. I think the manner in which we played first half, coming in at 0-0, disappointing, but we stuck to the tactics. The first 10-15 minutes, we were at them again. And maybe we ran out of steam. Maybe the changes coming in weren't, you know, what we needed at that time. But look, we played 3 games in a week, so you have to make them. We found a way to win on Tuesday, but if you don't score, you don't win games here.
If you don't score, you don't win games. Speaking of which, Pacific didn't score either, Mitchell. What did you think of them? Obviously, the game changes quite a bit when they do bring Ayman Salouf in, which is also not an unfamiliar sight after last year in a CPL, right?
No, and you know, I think most impressive about Pacific is the defensive base they've built up so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the only club in the CPL who hasn't allowed a goal so far this season, and that's certainly not by accident. I mean, they've had good goalkeeping performances, but you know, I think Thomas Meyer-Jaguer has taken the next level this year with Didish leaving, and I think Ali Endom is actually just a better partner for him in terms of how they complement each other. Endom's ability to play out of the back and kind of get them out of pressure in tight situations has, you know, really boded well and made sure, you know, even if they are more defensively set up, they aren't constantly under pressure, and those balls, like you said, aren't in dangerous areas for significant amounts of time. So you really like that. And then, like you said, one thing they've been getting is their attackers, like Rion Moore. You know, this guy's been getting like under 20 touches a game, but first game he wins a penalty, second game he sets up their opening goal, in this third game, you know, he really should have won it. So you like to see what he's been able to do with limited time on the ball, and in the Pacific system, you know, this year, that's important. I do think they're going to want to get back more to that Pacific DNA of holding onto the ball a little bit more, of, you know, being the aggressors and instigators. But as you're adjusting to a team with a, you know, a lot of new players in important positions, to have that defensive foundation first is what's going to bring them success, and is going to bring them success away from home, importantly as well, which is something that, you know, hasn't always been the case in past years.
Absolutely. Well, moving on from this game, and Cavalry have the whole week at home. You know, they stay in Calgary and then they play on Friday night against Vancouver at ATCO Field. Pacific, meanwhile, they're headed home for their first game in a Canadian championship. They're hosting TSS Rovers in a rematch from last year's, I want to say, quarterfinal. That stage of the competition was. Yeah, I can see you. I can see you trying to check it in your head as well, but I'm pretty sure. But obviously, a Rovers team that is very, very motivated for another crack at Pacific. And Pacific, who are very motivated to make another Canadian championship run after going to the semifinals last year. Anyway, from Calgary, let's head to Saturday night in Hamilton at Tim Hortons Field. Again, Mitch, you and I were both there as Forge did what Forge have done so many times. Valor played quite well in this game, very bravely. They loved sending so many crosses into the box. I think it was 26, which I think is like the a top 10 amount of crosses from a team in a game in CPL history. I think it was seventh. But yeah, Forge, again, you know, they find a way. Good teams always find a way to win. And that's exactly what happened here with Forge, with Amadou Kone coming on late, winning the ball on the right side, driving into the box. And then Noah Jensen, a fellow substitute, smashes it in with a deflection on the way through. And then, you know, ripping the shirt off in celebration, as one does, obviously. But Mitch, how many times have Forge done this where they're not necessarily at their best? Maybe they concede a goal in a difficult time, but, you know, by the end of the game, they've scored a late goal and they've taken all 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, again, that's the difference between, you know, a championship side and the contenders, is your ability to consistently do that. And, you know, it's the second time at home this season where they've done exactly that. They've, you know, maybe haven't put together the most consistent 90 minutes, but they have those difference makers that can pop up in the key moments and change games. And, you know, this year, really, that's been Tristan Borges, who has been unbelievable to start this Canadian Premier League season. Stat from Alex Saunders from our soccer ops department. Yeah, this is the most productive start to a season through 3 weeks in CPL history, with five goal contributions. Obviously, the two goals and the three assists that Borges has put in so far. So it's been incredible to see him back to his best, playing more of a central role, but also, you know, can pop up on either side. So he's just so difficult to defend against right now. And again, Daniel Parra, a player who towards the end of that match, in a similar way, was kind of playing a little bit free at the back and tucking inside so he could distribute, you know, wins a penalty that goes unconverted, or at least sets up the play for the penalty that goes unconverted, and then sets up Borges. You know, again, we're talking about real difference makers in the Canadian Premier League, and on a day where you're not at your best and where Valor frustrate you for most of the 90 minutes, like, having players like that is the difference between, again, 0 points, 1 point, and then actually getting 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I asked rhetorically how many times Forge have done this. I actually have it in the last 13 months. So since the start of last season, they've done it 7 times when they've won a game with a goal after the 75th minute.
Yeah.
Including the CPL final, including their first two home games of this year, including 4 regular season games last year. That's crazy. That's crazy. You cannot count this team out. You know, you're right to mention Tristan Borges, who has probably been the best player. I mean, pretty objectively been the best player in the league for the first 3 weeks. Daniel Parra was my man of the match here. And it's just, it's crazy that he's, you know, forced to do this all the time. A guy comes in, he's a little bit unknown. He fits in perfectly immediately. You know, they played those CONCACAF games with Malik Owalabi-Belawu at left back, and he was great there. And I think a lot of us assumed that that was going to be the solution for them at left back this year. Turns out they found another guy who is incredible as an attacking fullback, and Malik can go back to his more comfortable center back position where he's also really, really good. So again, must be frustrating to be other teams and seeing Forge continue to be this strong. I do want to talk about Valor though, because they deserve a lot of praise. But before we do that, we will go back to Tim Hortons Field one last time, because Christian Jack caught up with the goal scorer, Noah Jensen. So I think we should hear from him.
Christian Jack alongside Noah Jensen. Post-game reaction brought to you by Allstate. Right near the goal. You just won it for your team here in Hamilton. How are you feeling?
It's a fantastic feeling. It's always nice to score the winner, especially at home in front of these great fans. It's been a great start to the season for us, and let's keep that rolling into Wednesday.
How will you remember the goal? Noah, take us through it.
I think I'll remember the celebration a little bit more than we will, but it was a special moment, especially for Amadou. He did well to get the assist. It's a big moment for him, such a young player. But just a good moment for our team, you know, to win 3 points at the end like that is good for the morale of the group.
It seems like it's always the mentality at Forge is that you're never done, right? Did it even feel across your mind as you come on that you could still win it?
Yeah, and we went 1-0 up, and then we conceded quite soon after, but we always knew we have a goal in us. I think that's our mentality every single game, and today it was me, but in the future it will be someone else.
Yeah, it certainly was you. You're the hero, but there were other heroes. What about your goalkeeper, Christopher Colongo? Makes not one, two, but three brilliant saves.
Yeah, he's been brilliant. Yeah, he's one of my closest friends in the group. I'm so proud of him, the way he's stepped into his role this year, and there's bigger things ahead for him, for sure.
Final one for you. No, this is the first time in club history, and they're running out of firsts, by the way, because you've done a lot. But the first time in club history, you've won the first three games in the season. What does that say to the form that you're in at the moment?
Yeah, you know, it's been good. Obviously, we had a tough offseason, tough start to the season. But, yeah, it's just great to get 3 wins on the bounce, and it's momentum that we can continue on going forward.
And I know the Canadian Championship is huge for your team, right? Play midweek against York.
Yeah, I know. It's a must-win game, as they all are, but it gives us an opportunity to play two big games against Montreal, so that's what we have our eyes set on.
Hero of the day, Noah Jensen. Congrats. Appreciate it.
Noah Jensen, the hero of the day. That was it. Very right to shout out Chris Colongo as well, who made 6 saves in this game. You know, a clean sheet last week against York, and comes in and does a very good job. But he had to do a very good job because Valor were very dangerous, weren't they, Mitchell? You know, they looked very deliberate in the way that they wanted to attack. It was pretty clear that they wanted to, you know, hit crosses in from Temi Antonoglu and Zach Secunda. And, you know, some of them found their marks. Some of them found dangerous areas. And eventually, Jordan Faria does bring one down, or Antonoglu brings one down and send it to Faria, and he scores. But, you know, what did you like, Mitch, about the way that Valor approached this game? Because they've always been pretty good at Tim Hortons Field.
Yeah, I mean, the league's going to find out pretty soon that you absolutely cannot stand off Temi Antonoglu in crossing positions. Unfortunately, pretty much anywhere down that left flank seems to be a crossing position for him. So that's going to be a challenge for teams all year. And I like that they've set up in a way that really allows him to do that. And they have players now that are getting committed into the box. What I really liked was the approach. I mean, they obviously score that goal through Jordan Faria. And, you know, a lot of teams would have closed up shop then and there and just, you know, stopped maybe trying to go forward as much. They really took it to Forge, and honestly, they were unlucky, I think, a little bit. There was a stretch of, you know, like you said, 3 or 4 Chris Colongo saves or near misses combined in a couple of minutes where they really could have won this game. And, you know, honestly, when you're a team like Valor or any team in the Canadian Premier League, and you know you can win on any day, you know, maybe it's 1 point lost this time, but sometimes it's going to be 3 points gained from an approach like that. And I really admired the bravery of Valor to really go for it, you know, in a game, again, where for most of the 90 minutes, they were quite solid. And we've only really seen maybe a good half from them so far. So we're talking about improvement each week. I think they're 3 points out of the playoffs right now, which obviously is, you know, early in the season to talk about that. But it shows, you know, if they can keep improving and start picking up results, they're not falling behind right now, really. Again, it was a big step forward, and could be a confidence boost for them going into the big Canadian Championship game on Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. They head to Ottawa to play twice in a row because they're against them in the cup on Wednesday and then against them again at TD Place on Saturday in the league. But yeah, Valor, you know, they do always seem to play Forge very, very hard. You know, probably a little bit unfortunate not to come out of this game with anything, but I think generally, you know, more positive signs from Valor after, you know, again, two decent first halves in the first two games of the year. Maybe this is a little bit closer to a 90-minute performance, but still kind of missing that final ball at times where, you know, eventually those crosses will find the back of the net. But, you know, I do think that Forge also did quite well defending against them. And when they didn't, then Chris Colongo was there more often than not. Anyway, moving on from Tim Hortons Field, we had a wild one in Halifax in their home opener where, the score is 3-1 for Atletico Ottawa. So, you know, spoiling the kitchen party in the first game of the year at the Wanderers grounds. But this is a disappointing one for Halifax. You know, Lorenzo Caligari sent off, I think 20 minutes into this game. You know, he gets his boot high up on Manny Aparicio's chest. It's one of those where, you know, the referee looked like they had a really, really good angle on it. And we don't unfortunately have a camera angle from that side, but it does look like the boot comes up and his studs are quite exposed. So I think in that case, referee doesn't have a lot of choice, even if it's not intentional. And Caligari maybe obviously didn't mean to put his cleats directly into Manny's chest. But, you know, I do understand that Halifax have lodged an appeal to see if they can get his automatic two-game suspension reduced in any way. But we will see what happens with that and we'll update you guys as we learn. But anyway, Mitchell, let's start with Halifax because they're, you know, they scored the first goal of the season. Mm-hmm. That's good. And it was a really good goal at the end of the game, but it was already 3-0 when they did that. And Riley Ferrazzo scores, again, quite a nice goal on that great ball from Jeremy Gagnon-Lapare. But going down a man, conceding three, still looking for their first point of the season. Mitchell, this is, a disappointment again for Halifax, right?
Yeah, it's a disappointment. I would take more pros maybe than you would expect out of a game where you get a red card in the 20th minute. I actually thought that, you know, even with a man down, they're actually pretty proactive in attack. They went at Ottawa a lot. I like that they went and got that late goal to kind of break that narrative. And you know, they kept pushing for that goal because, you know, if they come out of this scoreless and winless, there's two storylines that we can talk about next week. Now we're only down to the winless one. So at least they've checked that box. And I do think that is critically important. But yeah, at the same time, I mean, it's probably the worst player to lose, isn't it? That's the end of their team. And, you know, they'll be missing him for two more matches if that appeal doesn't go through. And, you know, this reminded me a lot of last year. I think it was their second home match where they play York United and Lorenzo Caligari suspended for that one and they get beat 3-0, kind of a similar match. So that just shows how important this player is to that team. You know, again, they were similar to Calgary. They had a slow start last season. It's been a bit slow to start this year. The worst, I think Patrice Geiser said it after the match, you know, it's the 18 yard boxes that are the concern right now, which, you know, in some ways is like two parts of the game, but they're two pretty big parts of the game. So, there are concerns at both ends of the field, which isn't ideal. I think, you know, you'd rather be, you know, like Calgary, where really the concern is more the attacking side and you can't click there. You know, the fact that they're kind of fighting a battle on two fronts right now is probably the most not ideal part of this start.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, some changes from Halifax to the lineup for this game as well. You know, they kind of moved to more of a back four. Kale Lockery goes to the bench. Christian Valeski goes to the bench. But again, yeah, I think still looking for, I guess, that first one that might take some of the weight off their shoulders. And before we chat about Atletico Ottawa, let's just get a bit of a temperature check, excuse me, from their coach Patrice Geiser back at the Wanderers grounds.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, for me, it doesn't matter on Thursday if we play Forge, Calgary, League One team. It's a game that, like you said, we got to rebound, be ready to go. There are no excuses. Like, I just said it, you know, and I said it to the guys. No one's perfect. but we are making some mistakes. Even with a red card, I still felt we could have minimized some mistakes, right? But no problem. Get back to work, fix it, be ready to go on Thursday.
Fix it, be ready to go on Thursday. Patrice guys are expecting a response on Thursday in that Canadian Championship game against CS Saint Laurent. Really a must win for them. Mm-hmm. You know, when you play a League One club in Canadian Championship, especially with the prospect of a two-legged tie with Toronto FC beckoning, if you win that, you have to win that game. And I think maybe if they do, if they can not just win it, but win it convincingly, that could do a lot for Halifax and help them maybe find their swagger a little bit, because I think that's going to be a team that needs some confidence, because if they don't, then, you know, things can go off the rails. Atletico Ottawa, though, remain undefeated, 2 wins and a draw in this Canadian Premier League season. Mitchell, what did you think of them? Because again, you know, very effective and sharp in the attacking third.
Yeah, agreed. I think we saw a match earlier this week in the Canadian Championship where a side gets a red card and the other side doesn't really take advantage. In fact, they get scored on. Ottawa took advantage of the extra spaces that were afforded to them based on this, you know, based on there being less numbers in the middle of the park. Love the double pivot with Sissoko and Manny Aparicio, who kind of controlled things through there. And yeah, they were just clinical. They did a really good job of finding those open spaces. Often it was Balu Tabla kind of stretching the lines and getting in behind in transition, finding those moments. Obviously he gets off the mark, which is important for them, I think, this season, to have him go in early. And, you know, we see once again one of the best impact players in the year. And I think they've found a better way of getting Ollie Bassett more central and having him create.
Yeah,
which is going to be critical as well. He was a little isolated through the first few matches of the season, and we know, obviously, the silverware speaks for itself, what this man can do when you put him in positions to succeed. So, he remains a critical piece of that team. And you like what you've seen from them through 3 weeks. Again, to have picked up 3 results already, 7 points, I think is a great return for a team, again, still just getting started.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ollie Bassett, you're very right to point out, 4 chances created in this game. I think he was outstanding. Balu Tabla, guy had 7 shots in the game. That is a lot. That is a lot. Like, usually you're having a great game if you have 3 or 4. 7 is a lot. Yeah, a lot to like from the individual performances in Ottawa, as these guys do continue to click and put it together. And obviously, we know why there's so much excitement around this team. And I think we're starting to see it manifest. Another thing is Matteo Debrienne playing up on the wing with Maxime Tissot fit enough to come and play 90 minutes at left back. And Tissot was brilliant there, I think. I think he won 11 of 15 duels, which, again, implies that he was a busy man, but he was an effective one in this game. So yeah, a lot to like for Ottawa as well. As we mentioned earlier, 2 games against Valor at home within the next 7 days, one of them being in the cup, obviously, and they will be quite desperate to win that cup game, because this club has not really had a Canadian Championship run in its history. So again, that would be one they're definitely circling on the calendar. Anyway, to our final match. Well, our final match of the show, our first match of the weekend, was at York Lions Stadium on Friday night under the lights. It was kind of cold, to be honest. I was outside for most of it. But anyway, York United coming in, looking for their first points of the year. They play a Vancouver team that had not yet dropped points. And they go to town. They win 3-0. Really, really getting the job done in the second half, especially. Mitch, from your vantage point, what do you think was so effective from the way that York United played?
Yeah, I think tactically, Martin Nash just got this brilliantly right. I mean, they set up in a 4-4-2, which, you know, for most of the game didn't really lead to much offensively, but it really stopped Vancouver from, you know, being able to break their very solid lines of four. And then, you know, when you're playing a Vancouver side who played midweek, you know, short rest, quick travel, you can kind of take advantage of them late. And that's exactly what they did. You know, the game gets a little stretched, and York do brilliantly well. I mean, Brian Wright, this is probably the best game we've seen from him in a York United shirt two goals, one assist. He was fantastic. The new guys coming in completely changed how their backline looks in Frank Stirring and the range of passing he can have. Juan Cordova was excellent. Him and Max Ferrari. If you want to talk about combos down the flanks, those two on the right were fantastic. So just so much to like for a York United team that really, really needed a result like this after, you know, some good moments. Obviously, you know, in the nation's capital could have maybe won week one, but, you know, the response after being beaten by the same scoreline by Forge last week was excellent.
Yeah, I mean, it does a lot for the goal differential, doesn't it? But, yeah, there's something quite satisfying about looking at the Opta formation graphic and seeing two teams set up to play proper 4-4-2 football.
That's proper football, isn't it?
that is, you know, Yorkshire football right here. I love this. And I think so clever from Martin Nash. We'd seen what Vancouver had done with their banks of four and with Moses Dyer and Alejandro Diaz playing very close together, you know, their first two games. York's 4-4-2, a little bit different in practice. You know, I think both Ricci and Wright stretching the pitch a little bit more, not necessarily playing right off each other's shoulders in the same way, but given a little bit of freedom to kind of command two sides of the pitch. But I do really, really think it worked. For me, though, I know Brian Wright scored two goals and had an outstanding game. Juan Cordova was maybe one of the biggest stories of this game. For me, you know, he's rightfully so. I mean, as is Wright, but Cordova is also in the team of the week for week three, and you know, just to see the quality he brings. He's got so much experience playing down in South America. You know, he's just such an entertaining player to watch. You know, he's not a huge guy, I think we can tell, but the way that he's so clever on the ball, he's so calm, he can take on defenders, he can really, really get high up the pitch. And again, you mentioned his combination with Max Ferrari, who is very comfortable dropping in behind him to play as that fullback if necessary. It seems like that is the start of a very, very interesting and effective relationship for York. But this is a game that they needed to win very badly, you know, after losing those first two. Do you have something to say?
Yeah, one thing I just wanted to say, because we're talking about proper football, one moment that basically everyone I talked to on York United spoke about was Elijah Adekubi absolutely goes through Vasco Fry.
Yeah.
I don't know, like 6 minutes into the game, and they haven't done that enough. They haven't set the tone at home. They haven't been difficult to play enough at home. And that's a moment where, you know, that's the response you're looking for early in the game. Again, clean tackle, not even a foul. That just really set the standard for the rest of the game for York. So I just wanted to give Elijah Adekubi a shout out, because, you know, it's moments like that can change games and, you know, don't get talked about the same way, you know, like you said, Cordova and Wright do for their offensive prowess.
Yeah, it did set a tone. And then what, like moments later, Vasco Fry comes in and with a similar challenge that is probably a little bit more reckless. And, you know, again, you could see that it had bothered and maybe shaken Vancouver a little bit. But anyway, before we do move on to Vancouver and see, you know, discuss if there's much to be worried about, let's just close the book on York United here and go back and hear a much happier version of their head coach, Martin Nash.
I just think that our compete level was where it needed to be. We ran and worked last week, but I didn't think we competed. And we competed from the first minute. I think the Elijah's tackle was a great tackle in the middle of the park. I think set the tone, and the rest of the guys stepped up and we responded. I thought, I thought we created a lot more opportunities than them. I know they're a tired team coming in, but yeah, I was real pleased with the performance, the energy, the effort all the way to the end.
Effort all the way to the end. Yeah, it's always nice if you're a manager to see your team kind of press their advantage, not be happy with one or two up. They continued to play, continued to want to attack. And then Brian Wright scores that second goal, which could be so important for him confidence-wise in the 93rd minute, and a well-deserved man of the match nod for him. Vancouver FC won those first two home games. Quite disappointed not to beat Cavalry in the Canadian Championship on Tuesday, especially after going up a man. But, not at their best in this game, I think we'd say. Mitchell, was this game more of a case of York United just finding their form and carving through them, or was there something a little bit off in Vancouver?
I think Vancouver still needs to figure out what A, their identity is, but B, how they can get results away from home. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, we're early into the season, so we'll see how it shapes out, but it's looking like home teams are, you know, a little bit better this year, and like there is going to be that home advantage. So away might be where you can kind of make inroads. And obviously, you know, two games at home, they look solid, they win. Two games on the road, maybe just not as much confidence going forward. They didn't score in either game. You know, they didn't really challenge York United offensively nearly enough. I think there's maybe one Moses Dyer open header that he would have liked back, but I think Afshin Gappi spoke after the game, but just maybe not being creative enough. So that's a bit of a concern. But again, I don't think, if you're Vancouver, I don't think you want to make too much of this result. You just want to move on from this week kind of as a whole and go back to playing the football that got you, you know, 6 points already this season, because I think there's more to like than to be concerned by the way Vancouver started this season.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And, you know, again, they were a team that had trouble playing away from home last year. And that's something that I think they're aware of and working on trying to find those ways. You know, luckily for them, I suppose, they get to go back to Calgary this Friday and get another crack at that team. You know, after obviously losing there in the cup last week, I think they'll be quite pleased to get that chance and maybe prove that they can get results on the road. But again, a frustrating one for Vancouver here. 67 entries into the final third, which is well more than York, but two shots on target, five shots in the box. You know, you mentioned maybe not quite having enough creativity in those areas, and I think that probably is right on that. You know, a couple changes in the lineup as well, though, for them, right? Like the entire right side of the lineup is changed, with James Cameron coming in for Caden Cheung and, you know, TJ Taheed coming in just above him on the wing. And I think it was pretty clear that was two very young players that haven't played a lot of minutes this season yet. So I think, again, maybe not too much to be concerned about there if you're Vancouver, but
both were off the path as well.
Exactly. It was quite clear that both those players will need to be maybe worked in a little bit more to get up to the level that especially Cameron was for much of the second half of last season. Anyway, that is our quartet of Canadian Premier League games in week three. Let's just take a quick look at where things stand at this point, because now, you know, now that we've got 3 weeks in, it's not just, you know, these teams won, so they're the top four anymore. We have a little bit of separation. Forge, obviously the sole remaining perfect team in the league with 9 points. Halifax and Valor at the bottom, both waiting for their first point. And in between, there is, you know, quite a lot of logjam. Ottawa Pacific tied for second on 7 points, then Vancouver, then York, and then Calgary with 2 in sixth place. I don't know why I jumped around the table in that strange order.
My brain is swimming right now.
I'm sure that was an absolute nightmare to hear if you're listening on the podcast. So for that, I am sorry, but you know what? You can go to campiel.ca/standings and you can see them for yourself, because I don't want to run through them again. Anyway, let's see the schedule for next week. Obviously, before we have all of these lovely Canadian Premier League games, we do have some Canadian Championship, as I mentioned, Atletico Ottawa and Valor on Wednesday, May 1st, at the same time as Forge FC hosting York United at Tim Hortons Field. Both of those on Wednesday at 7 Eastern. Pacific hosting TSS Rovers later that night at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. And then on Thursday, the final game of this preliminary round is Halifax hosting CS Saint Laurent at the Wanderers Grounds. And then on the weekend, it is back into CPL action. Cavalry FC, Vancouver FC on Friday, May 3rd, 7 Mountain Time, 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern, I suppose. Pacific then hosting York on Saturday at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. Atletico Ottawa and Valor FC on Sunday, I believe that is. Yep. 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock if you are in Winnipeg. And then finally on Tuesday, May 7th, it looks like we got Forge FC hosting Halifax in the school day game at 11 a.m. Eastern time on a Tuesday, which should be quite fun. I believe we're all going to be there from the CPL. So, you know, maybe we'll see some.
I got a PD day.
Yeah, exactly. I got a note from my teacher. They said I can go. but that should be a fun one. Anyway, we've I think, talked for long enough, and I think we could stand to hear a different voice and some different opinions. So as we are always going to do this year, we have some stoppage time with our producer, Benedict Rhodes, who I will invite now onto the show to make me stop talking and ask us some questions from our lovely listeners.
Yeah, some good ones this week. Starting with Dimitri, a friend from One Soccer, also known as LG Czar on Twitter, who asks, after three matches, who has been a surprising player this season? I guess you could spin that either positively or negatively, but who's been the most surprising player in the CPL this year?
Can I go first?
You can absolutely go first.
Okay, I'll give you some time to think. I'm going to say Chris Twardek. I don't think he was a name among those Atletico Ottawa names coming in. I don't think we expected him to stand out as much, and I don't think we expected him to be the answer at right back either for this Ottawa team, which was maybe their biggest question coming into the season. So he's been fantastic. Needs to figure out the officiating a little bit, because he's got a suspension looming if he keeps picking up cards the way he has been. But overall, I think Twardek's been real impressive so far.
I think I'll also go with a fullback. I'm going to say Daniel Parra in Hamilton, who, you know, I know we've already talked about in this show, but just to be able to come in to a new team from Mexico, start immediately, and be delivering man of the match performances in your third week, that's enough for me to be surprised and very impressed.
Next up, after three games and three clean sheets for Pacific FC, Sly on Twitter asks, are they that good defensively and in goal, or is it just the beginning of the season and teams have not adjusted yet?
I mean, they're going to concede goals at some point. Yeah, I think it is. I think it is both. Like, they're going to concede goals at some point. I think there's a lot to be impressed about. But again, we kind of talked about it, like Cavalry score in that game more often than not. So there's still work to be done. It is early. But yeah, no, it's a good start. It's a good foundation, we'll say.
I agree.
Third one is Kingston to CPL. I wonder if they want an expansion team. Asks, if you could take one player within the league and put them on one of the two winless teams, that being Halifax and Valor, who would it be and why? So maybe each of you take one. Maybe Mitchell, start with Halifax. Who would you take from one of the other six teams to put on Halifax?
Oh, darn it. Ooh. I wanted Valor, because I had a good answer for that.
We'll put the pressure on Charlie to go with Halifax.
I'm doing Halifax. I had a funny one for Valor.
Let's go. Okay.
How about we both do both then?
Okay.
You know what kind of player Valor could probably use right now?
Who?
Moses Dyer.
True.
I think for both teams I'd go with a striker. I think that's one of the biggest problems in Winnipeg and Halifax right now, is they need somebody who's going to be that clinical finisher, able to just pop up in the right areas in the box and you know, not really think twice to smash it in the net. And I think that's maybe the player. You know, maybe it's Diaz instead, but you know, he might fit a little bit better in the Halifax system, maybe. But you know, either way, I think both those teams it would be a center forward for me.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go the other end of the pitch for Valor. I'd go with Amir Didic for Valor.
You know,
just having him in the center of that back line, and also he's getting on the end of at least two to three of those Temi crosses and scoring those. Yeah. And then, sure, let's go.
Are you playing him at striker?
Forge. Oh yeah, of course. No, set pieces.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Tristan Borges for Halifax. I mean, again, can create chances, can score chances. Yeah, if they had someone like that, someone in that form to start the season, I think it would look a whole lot different on the East Coast right now.
And last one comes from Alex on Twitter, who asks, you know, Forge were able to make a sixth substitution because of Valor's sub of Frank Fascinieri was a head injury substitution, but Valor only ended up making four subs over three windows. Could Valor have opted not to use a head injury substitution, which in the end helped Forge, who have a deeper bench than them? So I reached out to Alex Saunders, who works for our Soccer Ops department. We've got two shout-outs on the show, so shout-out to Alex again.
big day for Alex.
Big day for Alex. And Alex Saunders said that supposedly the club could have elected to use a normal substitution. However, they chose to use a head injury substitution. So in a future event, the club does actually have that choice if they do have remaining substitutions left to use. So maybe some slight mismanagement from Phil DeSantos in the end, and the sixth sub Ford didn't end up being consequential. It was a 93rd minute sub for Kadeem Kane for Tristan Borges. But in the future, something definitely to consider for these teams.
Yeah, you know, it's a tricky part of the role. I guess, you know, Valor didn't technically empty their bench. They still had Jordan Haynes there. And I suppose maybe Phil DeSantis wanted to have the opportunity or at least the capability to bring him on into the game if he wanted to. But yeah, certainly, you know, Forge, I suppose, spotted this area they could take advantage of and did so. You know, if they're offered a sixth substitution, a team with that deep a bench is going to use it. So, you know, good to know. And, you know, nice to clarify that. So thank you. Thank you, Alex.
This just sounds like more press box math for me going forward this season, trying to figure this out.
Yeah, man. Anyway, Benny, is that it for the mailbag?
Sure is. We'll do it again next week. Send your questions to us on social media, and we'll get them every week on the show.
Yes, absolutely. Make sure that you send in anything that you would like to hear these two dummies talking about, ideally related to the Canadian Premier League, but honestly, we'll take them. We'll take pretty much anything. So anyway, we thank you very, very much for sticking with us through 3 weeks of the Canadian Premier League. We hope that you stick around or you watch the Canadian Championship games this week, the CPL games on the weekend, and then us again next week. I'm not quite sure yet if we're going to do our show on Monday or maybe Tuesday afternoon after the Halifax game in Forge, but we will try to let all you lovely people know as soon as we can. But until then, thank you very, very much for watching, and goodbye.
For Aparicio, totally on Marco. Brilliant finish from Manny Aparicio to find a second. Yeah.